Okay. Today is the 12th of March, 2019, Tuesday class. So we will now get ready for puja. So they were so busy until puja book also forgot the layout. Never mind. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Okay. Yeah, you can have some more. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. And turn to page 1. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchachara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganda sarappa ditena dipena tamadang sina ติโลกาติปังสัมบุตังปูจายามิธัมโมนุดังกันดาสัมบารายุเทนะโดเปนะหังสุขังหินะปูจายะปูจานิยังตังปูจายจามะโมตะมังวันนากันดาโกนเพทังเหตังกสุมาสันตตินปูจายามิโมนินดาสะสิริปาลาสารโรเหปูเจมิบุตังกสุเมนะเนนะปุณเณนะมัตเตนะเชโหทุโมคังปูปังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปานิยังปาริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปาเลปาริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตโภชานังปาริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังNow we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water.May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One.Who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers.May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration.By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balance of power, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings, exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity.To receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we will pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami.สังหัง พุทเธ เม Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax and maintain some more attention. Then we can have our half an hour of meditation. I will set the alarm for half an hour. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed. For those who still need to stabilize your sati, you use it. You do it. Then for those who need to decondition the heedless thinking, you can also use the skillful means of the mind sweeping method followed by metta that we teach you before. So either way, you train your mind to be mindful first, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, then just silent everything. And the meditation will develop on its own. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. And I will ring the bell after the half an hour is up. another meditation, then we will continue with our second session. Before that, where is my wife? Hong? Hong? Ayan is here. Ayan? Hey, hey. My wife need to pass the key to him. Well, my elder brother is coming down. One day after we go up to Cameron. So he's coming on the 16th. I will be off on the 15th. So that also reminds us of the retreat. It's only another 3 more days. Actually, 2 more days to go. Tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, then Friday, early morning. We will have to get ready and drive up. So this year, there is no bus. All of us will be having our own transport up. Those who don't have transport got problem, you better let us know. Then, just a word of caution. Drive safely. No need to rush. If you are late, it's okay. Don't worry. So, the planning is we try to start early, if possible. Latest 8 a.m. we will start our journey. Then it take about, you take the old road up, I think it take a total of about 2 hours plus, less than 3 hours. But you stop by at rest area or certain places for your breakfast or your drink, it may take you about 3 hours. Anyway, you got ample time. 8 o'clock, 3 hours is still 11. You reach there by 12:30, it's still just in time. 12:30, you need to maybe find out where your room is. Padmasuri will text it on our website, the Cameron Highland website. Then you can know which room you are. Then you just go there. The key will be held by only one person because one room, there is only one key. So you all have to sort it out who is keeping the key. So you need to go to your room. You will need to look for the person with the key. Then that place is quite safe, except if you got valuable things or certain cash or what, try not to put it there, just in case. But so far so good, nothing has happened for so many years. So as a word of caution, if it's something expensive or what, you try to have a small, I don't know what you call that, a small thing to keep, then you can put it in your whatever loose clothing. But make sure you don't drop it. Then when you are traveling together, you make sure you watch out for the driver. If he is tired, sleepy, you better tell him to take a break. Go to the rest area, then somebody take over. You don't have to rush. Drive slowly. And the journey is quite safe because not that far. The only stretch that is a bit winding is after Tapa. From Tapa, when you want to go up, the first few kilometer stretch is quite good, a little bit like country road. But towards the middle part, somewhere after about one third the journey, then there's a lot of winding road all the way almost up to Ringlet. After Ringlet, upwards, it will be quite okay. Then by the time you reach Ringlet, it's already very near. So the temple is in Brinchang. After Ringlet, you go up. Before you reach Brinchang, there's an Indian temple on your right. When you see the Indian temple, you drive slowly. then there is a junction where you turn right, and the small road that take you up to the temple. There's a very small sign there, Sampo Temple. For those who are new, maybe you just make a note. There's a map, a location map. I think Pamasuri sent out, so you can use that. The ways will take you up there. Then when you reach there, you try to look for parking. I was told there's some construction up there. So if you go up there, you try to put your luggage in, then the driver may have to look for a car park you cannot find. Then you drive down at the base after that winding slope access road to the temple. When you reach the water, there is some parking space there. You can park there if you want to. We see how it goes. Otherwise, there are some cars that can park inside. If it's full, then outside you see got place or not got place, you try to park. Otherwise, you have to park lower down, one level lower, which is not far. It's about maybe less than 100 meter of walk. About 100 meter or less, or maybe 80 meter. Okay, so that is the retreat. Tonight we're supposed to have this sharing by who is it? Tell me and Kok Lun. Is Kok Lun here? Oh, Kok Lun still not here. So Tell me, you got to go out. Hold on to the fort for Kok Lun first. So we are supposed to do the new chapter, chapter 26, page 433. Page 433. Mode of birth and death. So this chapter is quite interesting. It's a continuation of Paticca-samuppada. So the opening statement extracted from Samyutta Nikaya is again the slow wheat seeks rebirth. Again comes birth and dying comes. Again man bears to the grave. So this is trying to let you understand that samsara is continuous birth and death. It like never end. Not until you can liberate your mind, then you can break free from the cycle of birth and death. To do that, you have to realize the full enlightenment, at least the stage of arahantship. So when you are able to develop the awakening, then you realize the fourth stage of sainthood, which is arahantship. After that, no more birth. Then, no more coming back. But if you have the condition to go the bodhisattva way, then you can still come back. So there is a choice when you reach that stage. So for those who have the condition, they will take the vow before they reach the stage of arahantship. Then they are sure of continuation. Otherwise, when you hit that stage, if nobody tell you, after that life, you got no more rebirth consciousness, because you already enlightened and arahant. So at the moment of death, there is no avijja. No avijja means no ignorance. No ignorance means no rebirth. Just like the cessation cycle of our dwelling, Paticca Samuppada. Before I forgot, that word concording, the spelling is without the R. You have to cancel off the R and replace it with C. Concording. Yes, my daughter, when I Google, then she told me. Then I corrected it here. So you can make a note. It should be C-O-N-C-O-C, not T-I-N-G. Concording means there is this movement inside there. Sankara, Sanya. Your Sankara and your perception. Sankara, Sanya. This is how your mind actually works. There is a lot of concording, Sankara, Sanya. But I call it cooking. Like when you cook, you try to cook rice. What happens is you put in water, you put in the uncooked rice. What you call uncooked rice? Also rice. No different. Both also rice. After cook also rice. We all, our Chinese dialect better. Before cook is B. After that is fun. Pui. So we all distinguish the two. The English, everybody also uncle, auntie, finish. You all got call. Daddy is with the husk. So that one cannot cook. That one you can maybe break it up and cook porridge. But the husk is very good. They say vitamin, a lot of vitamins. So today we have to wrap up this one, chapter 26. So chapter 26 is the various type of birth. So we have finished off with Paticca Samuppada. Then we can get Sister Tammy to come in. Share with us on this topic. What is it? Oh yeah, 还没有, 等一下, modes of rebirth and death. Modes of rebirth and death. Oh, birth. Okay. Yeah, I almost forgot. Luckily, Alicia remind me. He haven't done the invocation to the devas, but we haven't started the sharing, so we can still do it now. Okay. Let us turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the devas and then deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadam dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho. วิจารณสัมปันโนสุขโตโลกวิโดอนุตโรปุริสธัมมสารติสัตตาเทวมนุสานังพุทโธภะคะวะติสวากาโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมสันติติโกอัคคาลิโกเอหิปัสสโกโอปนายโกปัจจตังเวทิตาโบอิโนหิทิสุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอุจุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสัญญาปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยะติดังจัตตาริปุริสโยกานิอัตตปุริสปุกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยดาเกเนโยอัญจาลิกะระเนโยอนุตรังปุญญาเกตังโลกาสาติสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค let's pay respect Triple Gem Buddhang Pajemi Dhammang Pajemi Sanghang Pajemi Okay, you can be seated. So before I hand over to Tammy, I got something to share with you. Just now, when I was upstairs, I was trying to look through the Lotus Sutta. I want to find out how many chapters do I have. Actually, at that time when I bought the whole set, I only got 8 chapters. My wife said got 28 chapters. So there are still a lot of this we need together. But 28 book is too long to share. So I will try to look for a shorter version. Hopefully we can get it before we start sharing that topic. I came across this book. The Buddha speaks the Ulambana Sutta. It's about Venerable Mahamoggallana. This sutta is actually very good. The Mandarin word is what? Four sword. So much in there. Come, read this one. Yilan Tanjing. Okay. Then come and read this Mandarin one. First two page. No translation. I don't know what is it. No. Just read it. Read it out. Just read it. Use the mic. Just read it out. So that I know what it is. Because this sutta is very useful in the sense that we are Chinese. We have this tradition. We have this month seven, Qigui Puan.
It's about filial piety.
Never mind, you just read. Just read.
Fo shuo yi lan pan jing. Namo yi lan hui shang fo pu sa. Namo yi lan hui shang fo pu sa. 南无宜兰会上佛菩萨，如是我闻，一时佛在舍卫国，其树基孤独园，大目全达，使得六通，亦度父母，报如普之恩，既以道眼观世间，见其亡母身恶鬼中，不见饮食，皮骨连立，目连悲哀，气波甚泛。往上其母得波泛，便以左手胀泛，右手波泛，未入口化成火炭，敌不得食，目连大叫，悲号第七，持环白佛，既成如此。
Never mind, no need. You will read all first, because the English translation is there, I think.
That's not what
I read. I read the thing.
佛言，如母罪根深结，非汝一人力能奈何？汝虽孝顺，身动天地，天神、地神、邪魔、外道、道士、四大天王，亦不能奈何。当须十方众生威神之力，乃得解脱。吾今当为如说救济之法，令一切难皆离忧苦，罪障消除。佛告目连，十方众生于七月十五日生至此时，当为七世父母，即现在父母恶难中者，俱犯百味无果，即灌盆器，香油蘸足，床数卧具，尽是甘美，以着盆中，供养十方大德僧众。众生当此之日，一切圣众或在三间禅定，获得四道果，或树下精行，或六道自在，教化声闻缘觉，或十方菩萨大人全现比丘，在大众中皆同一心受波和罗饭，具清净界圣众之道，其德汪洋，具有供养此等自知生者，现在父母、七世父母、六种亲属得出三道之苦，因时解脱，衣食自然。若或有人父母现在者，复乐百年，若已亡七世父母天身，自在化主，入天华光，受无量快乐，时奉劝十方众生，皆先为施主家住院，七世父母行禅定义，然后受食，出受盆食，先免在佛塔前，众生助念尽，便至受食。儿时目连比丘即此大会，大菩萨众皆大欢喜，而目连悲涕七声悉然消除。是时目连其母，既于四日得脱一切恶鬼之苦。儿时目连复白佛言：弟子所生父母，得蒙三宝功德之力，众生威神之力故， 若未来是一切佛弟子行孝顺者，亦应奉此盂兰盆救度现在父母乃至七世父母，为何而不？佛言：大善快问，我正一说，如今复问。善男子，若有比丘、比丘尼、国王、太子、王子、大臣、宰相、三公、百官、万民、庶人行孝持者，皆因为所生现在父母，过去七世父母，于七月十五日佛欢喜日生智之日，以百味食饮食安宜兰盆中，施十方智之生七愿，便使现在父母寿命百年无病，无一切苦恼之患，乃至七世父母离恶鬼苦，得生天人中，富乐无际。佛告诸善男子、善女人：是佛弟子修善顺、修孝顺者，应念中常忆父母供养，乃至七世父母，年年七月十五日，常以孝顺慈义所生父母乃至七世父母，为作宜兰盆施佛寄生，以报父母长养慈爱之恩。若一切佛弟子应当奉持是法，而时目连比丘四众弟子闻佛所说，欢喜奉行。佛说宜兰盆经报父母恩真言：南无弥利多多婆耶娑诃。
Yeah, thank you. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This is a very good sutta. I will explain to you. I will go through with you. So according to the Buddha, he said there are four types of kindness. The greatest kindness that as an individual we may need to repay or express our gratitude. Then these are the kindness that is hard to really repay. So according to the Buddha, there are four types of kindness which are very difficult to repay. I think in the early days you have heard about the Mahayana Sutta. They said, even to repay your parents, even if you were to carry them on your shoulder from the time you can carry them until they die, you would not have actually paid them back, despite all those things that you do. So this particular sutta is to explain to you that this four kind of kindness is very difficult to repay. First, your parents give you life, let you have the condition to arise in this universe. Then most parents, if they know how to do their duty, they will care for you, provide for you, sacrifice for you, and do a lot of things for you. And that one, they're really willing to sacrifice themselves just to make sure you are happy, you are successful, and you have all the education or whatever needed for you to succeed in life. So under this sutta is it, the first is the kindness of your father. The second is the kindness of your mother. The third is the kindness of the Taskam one, You know, the Sammasambuddha. And the fourth is the kindness of Dhamma teachers or Dhamma master who speaks the Dhamma. If one can make offering to these four types of people, then one will attain boundless merits and blessing. In this present life, one will be promised by others. One will be praised by others. And in the future, one will attain Bodhi. So this one is extracted from the Sutta of Mindfulness of the Proper Dhamma. So what Pamasuri have read to you is about this sutta. They call it the Ulambana Sutta. The Buddha speaks the Ulambana Sutta. Then there is a salutation to this sutta. Namo homage to Ulambana Assembly of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So this one is a very unique sutta. So the sutta starts as usual. Thus have I heard at that time the Buddha dwelt in Sarvati, in the garden of the benefactor of orphan and solitary. Mahamangalana had just obtained the sixth spiritual penetration and wished to cross over his father and mother to repay their kindness for raising him and giving birth to him. Thus using his third eye, he regarded the world and saw that his deceased mother had been born among the hungry ghosts. Having neither food nor drink, she was but skin and bones. Mahamangalana felt deeply pity and sadness, filled a bowl with food and went to provide for his mother. She got the bowl, screened it with his left hand, and with his right hand made a feast of food. But before the food entered the mother's mouth, it turned into burning coal, which could not be eaten. Mangalana called out and wept sorrowfully and hastened to return to the Buddha to set forth and report all this. Actually, the word here, sorrowfully, is the wrong word. There is no sorrow. But he just felt that his mother, he wants to help, but he can't. So that sincere wish to perform the act was not fulfilled. Then the Buddha said to Mangalana, your mother's offense are deep and firmly rooted. You alone do not have the power. See, as an arahan, he cannot do anything. And not only as an arahan, later on in the sutta is mentioned, although your failure sound can move heaven and earth, because he really has failed piety. Even the heaven spirit, the earth spirit, all the demons, and those of the outside way, or the outer path, or the Brahmas and the four heavenly kings, they are all without sufficient strength to help you. The awesome spiritual power of the assembled Sangha of the Ten Directions is necessary for liberation to be attained. So just imagine, just to save your parent, one of your parents from the ghost ride or the hell ride, you need the power of the great beings. Then the Buddha spoke, I shall now speak a Dhamma of rescue which causes all those in difficulties to leave worry and suffering and to eradicate obstacles from offenses. The Buddha told Mangalana, on the 15th day of the 7th month is the Pavarana day for the assembled Sangha of the Ten Directions. For the sake of father and mother of 7 generations past, as well as for father and mother of the present who are in distress, you should prepare an offering of clean basin full of hundreds of flavor and the 5 fruits and other offerings of incense, oil, oil lamps, candles, beads and beadings, all the best of the world, to the great virtuous assembly Sangha of the Ten Directions. On that day, all the holy assembly, whether in the mountain, practicing Dhyan Samadhi, or obtaining the four fruit of the way, or walking beneath trees, or using the independence of the six penetration to teach and transform the sound hearers and those enlightened to condition, or provisionally manifesting as bhikkhu, when in fact they are great bodhisattva of the ten ground, complete with pure precepts and ocean-like virtue of the holy way, should gather in a great assembly, and all of the like mind receive the parvarana food. If one thus makes such offering to this parvarana sangham, one's present father and mother, parents of seven generation post, as well as the six kind of close relative, will escape from the three paths of suffering, and at the time attain release. Their clothing and food will spontaneously appear. If the parents are still alive, they will have wealth and blessing for 100 years. Parents of seven generation past will be born in the heavens. Transformably born, they will independently enter the celestial flower-like and experience limitless bliss. At that time, the Buddha commanded the assembly of Sangha in the Ten Directions to recite mantra and vow for the sake of the donor's family, for their parents of seven generations. After practicing Dhyan Samadhi, the Sangha accepted the food. When they first received the basin, they placed it before the Buddha in the stupa. When the assembled Sangha has finished the mantra and vow, they receive the food. At that time, the Bhikkhu Mongalana and the assembly of great Bodhisattva and all extremely delighted sound of Mongalana's, or the sad sound of Maha Mongalana's crying ceased. At that time, Mongalana's mother obtained liberation from one kappa of suffering. She is supposed to suffer from one kappa as a hungry ghost. Mongalana addressed the Buddha and said, "This disciple's parents have received the power of the merits and virtue of the Triple Gem. Because of the awesome spiritual power of the assembled Sangha, if in the future the Buddha's disciple practice filial piety by offering up the Ulambana basin, will they be able to cross over their present father and mother as well as those of seven generations past?" The Buddha replied, "Good indeed, I'm happy you asked that question. I just wanted to speak about that, and now you also ask about it. Good man, a bhikkhu bhikkhuni, kings, crown prince, great minister, great official, cabinet members, and hundreds of ministers, and the 10,000 of citizens wish to practice compassionate filial piety conduct for the sake of their parents who bore them, as well as for the sake of father and mother of the seven life paths. On the 15th day of the seventh month, the day of the Buddha's delight, the day of the Sangha's parvarana, they all should place hundreds of flavor of food in the Ulambana basin and offer them to the Parvarana Sangha of the Ten Directions. They should vow to cause the length of their present father and mother's life to reach 100 years without illness, without suffering, affliction, or worries, and also vow to cause seven generations of father and mother to leave the suffering of the hungry ghost, to be reborn among humans and gods, and to have blessings without limit." The Buddha told all the good men and good women, "Those disciples of the Buddha who cultivate filial piety should in thought after thought constantly recall their present father and mother when making offering, as well as the father and mother of seven life paths, and for their sake perform the offering of the Ulambana basin to the Buddha and the Sangha, and thus repay the lovely kindness of the parent who raised them and nourish them and provide for them and sacrifice for them. All that time, the Bhikkhu Mahamangalana and the four assembly of disciples, hearing what the Buddha said, practice it with delight. So this is the end of the Ulambana Sutta. Okay, so you can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So you look at the sutta, then you check what we all do. The Chinese tradition has deviated. You know, on the 7th month, 15, Cheng Beng. Not Cheng Beng, Chi Gui Poha. What you all do? You offer all those things to the hungry ghost. You were supposed to offer to the Ulambana Sangha, not to the hungry ghost. Yeah, Chui, yes. Pass the mic to Chui. Yeah.
That sutta, is it an original one from the Theravada or is it a Mahayana sutta?
It's definitely a Mahayana sutta.
So, I always get
but
confused.
Mangalana is mentioned in the Theravada tradition.
Yeah,
he is the same Mangalana, but I have not heard of any Theravada teaching that spoke on this. But in the Mahayana teaching, it's very common. Even there is a sutta on Kuan Yin, who wants to go down and save the father. But she can't. At the most, after what she did, the father has a better rebirth to become a cow. That's why those who have faith in Kuan Yin, they abstain from taking beef. So that is the reason.
Well, I asked that because the original suttas was at the time of the Buddha.
But this
is a later day because Mahayana came much later with the Chinese.
Oh, but the suttas are all there before they come over to China. This Bodhidharma, he was the one that bring the sutta over. Then there is also another great Indian monk, Kumarajiva. He brought over a lot of very special sutta. These are Mahayana sutta. And I don't know whether you all know about it or not. Even this Bodhidharma, you know why he went over to India or not? From India to China or not? Because it was predicted by his teachers, teachers, 800 years ago. 800 years ago, that teacher start to tell every patriarch that continue, until the teacher of this Bodhidharma. Yeah, you off it. The teacher of Bodhidharma was the last one. That's why he told Bodhidharma. Then when Bodhidharma reached there in China, when he did all those things, then he told Hui Ke, the second patriarch, why he has to go over to China and preach and teach them those teachings. It seemed it was predicted 800 years before that this teaching will go over to China, will be transmitted to China. And a lot of the sutta that this particular master, the patriarch who knows, came from the Tusita heaven, the Longsu Pusa, who actually got the teaching when Sakyamuni Buddha was helping the mother. That 3 months when he was in the Tusita heaven preaching those special sutta. So those were sutta for the beings up there. And these are all Mahayana sutta. And they mention it is from Longsu Pusa, the dragon, dragon tree or Bodhisattva. Nagarjuna. Yeah. So all these are recorded in the Theravada Sutta. So we have to have an open mind, because just because we haven't heard, it doesn't mean that it may not be true or it may not exist. What is important is make use of whatever that can help you, can make you understand. Don't be limited. Don't be conditioned by your conditioned thinking. That is what the Buddha advised. Have an open mind. Investigate into everything and find out whether this thing is harmful or it is conducive for the holy life. If it does not harm you, does not harm others, and if it's conducive for the holy life, make use of it. Don't try to argue whether it's the truth or not, or whether there is such a thing or not. Because I realize a lot of people are not interested in the Dhamma, in the teaching. They are more interested in whether it's true or not. Understand or not? Then we will have a lot of this, what they call argumentative reason. Like today, Sui An sent out something, but he didn't send to your Kalyamita site. I read to you this one, you will know why living being are like that. Actually, Sui An sent it to our engineering faculty. There are four photos. I think I will forward it to you all. Six photos. I forward it now, I think. Easier. My Kayanamita. Okay. You all receive that? My battery level is 4%. I have to go fast. Okay. The first one, there is a donkey, an old couple. Yeah? So this clueless couple, they don't even know how to ride a donkey. This two person at the side were laughing at them. So what happened was the two couple heard it, then they went up the donkey. After they went up the donkey, then the comment come this. What a wicked couple, they have no mercy for the donkey. Poor donkey. Then after that, they decide one person come down, the husband come down. Then the comment is, stupid man, he should have right, because he is the boss, and the wife is below him. So the husband went up, the wife came down. Then you know what the comment come. The fourth comment is, what a selfish man, he should have been kind to his wife. So finally, the couple don't know what to do. They decide both carry the donkey. Then the comment, ha ha ha, what a stupid looking couple, carrying a donkey instead of using the donkey. So the moral of the story is, you cannot please everyone. Whatever you do, there will be people who will criticize you. So just do what you believe is right, and don't be distracted by criticism or comments. So this one is a worldly example. So you have to be careful where the world is the world. Living beings are just the way they are. They are so conditioned by their views, opinion, and thinking process. So they will comment. But for us, as Dhamma practitioner and cultivator, we should follow the advice of the Buddha to investigate everything. When we investigate, we will understand whether it's the truth or not. If it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. If it's not the truth, it will not. Okay? Actually, your mic is fully off. No, not yet off. You push it down all the way. No, push it all the way. Okay. No wonder just now there is some distortion. Okay. Okay, I think we have to pass to Tammy now. Otherwise, not much time left. So what I want you to understand is that Chinese tradition, you have to be careful. A lot of things has been distorted. You want to come here? One day you will. Okay, yeah, you can do it from there. I also can read from here. Turn to page 433, those who have the books.
Good evening, everyone. Normally, how they start? Is it to read from here? Or
up to you. You have prepared your notes. then you can use your notes. Otherwise, you can just read from there and explain. Read and explain easier. Then you can also ask the Kalyanamitta what their views are. Then develop the sharing.
Chapter 26, Mode of Birth and Death. Again, the slow wheat seed rebirth. Again, comes birth and dying comes. Again, man bear its to the grave. Sayutta Nikaya. The Paticca Samuppada describes the process of rebirth in subtle technical terms and assign death to one of the following four causes. Number one, exhaustion of the reproductive karmic energy, karma kaya. The Buddhist belief is that as a rule, the thought volition or desire, which is extremely strong during lifetime, becomes predominant at the time of death and conditions the subsequent birth. In this last thought process is present a special potentiality when the potential energy of the reproductive Janaka karma is exhausted, the organic activities of the material form in which is embodied the life force cease even before the end of the lifespan in that particular place. This often happens in the case of beings who are born in states of misery, apaya, but it can happen in other planes too. What I get from the internet, says that karma kaya is like similar to the flame of an oil lamp dying out when the wick is exhausted. And then I think it is similar to like when the like whatever for example the reproductive karma of like a human being is no longer there, then the person will pass away.
Anything else?
Continue first lah. Number two is the expiration of the life term, Ayukaya, which varies in different planes. Natural death due to old age may be classed under this category. There are different planes of existence with varying age limits, irrespective of karmic force that has yet to run. One must, however, succumb to death when the maximum age limit is reached. If the reproductive karmic force is extremely powerful, the karmic energy rematerializes itself in the same plane or, as in the case of devas, in some higher realms. For this one, I think it's, for example, human age is like, for example, 100 years. So they reach, for example, 100 years, then and they will die. If their reproductive karmic force is strong, then they might rebirth again in the human plane. No?
So this is what you believe, or you try to understand it. Later on, we will discuss it.
Number four. The simultaneous exhaustion of reproductive karmic energy and the expiration of life. Upaya kaya. This one, I read, this is something like this. Here, death will take place when both the reproductive karma energy and the life expectancy are exhausted at the same time. This is similar to the flame of an oil lamp dying out when both the wick and oil are exhausted at the same time.
Number four.
Number four is the opposing action of a stronger karma unexpectedly obstructing the flow of the reproductive karma before the lifespan expires, upachekdaka karma. Sudden untimely death of person and the death of children are due to this cause. A more powerful opposing force can check the path of a flying arrow and bring it down to the ground. So a very powerful karmic force of the past is capable of nullifying the potential energy of the last thought process and may thus destroy the physical life of the being. The death of Venerable Devadatta, for instance, was due to a destructive karma which he committed during his lifetime.
That is correct.
The first three are collectively called timely death, Kala Marana, and the fourth is known as untimely death, Akala Marana. And all them, for instance, may get extinguished owing to any of the following four causes, namely the exhaustion of the weak, the exhaustion of all, simultaneous exhaustion of both weak and all, or some extraneous cause like a gust of wind.
Then so sometimes the other possibility, like I used to share, the manufacturer who manufacture the weak, sometimes the weak is defective. You still got quite a lot. But when you light the candle until certain part, maybe one third or half, then suddenly it just couldn't continue the flame. It just then it died out. You have seen the defective wick. They just die off like that. Then some, the candle wax is so soft. So as the candle lights out, it melts very fast. You may see the candle very long. You think you live very long. But your wax, not good quality. Once the flame lights up, it just melt down quickly. So you cannot say that you are born a human being, your average lifespan 76, you will live until around there. No such thing. That's why the destructive karma is the one that can take over. And when it comes, it's like our analogy of the candle. Down come the wind. Just blow off. So all your condition that support that thing is still there. But because of the wind, the destructive karma, sometimes it's a karmic force. It suddenly stops, no more. We call it destructive karma. Means that particular life cannot continue. Cannot continue means the karmic force cannot come and pump your heart. Is no longer there. So this karmic force, which is also the life force that gives you the powers of life, that pumps your heart, pumps your blood to nourish all of your organs so that it can sustain life. So when that life force stops, there is nothing to pump the heart. There is nothing to send the blood round. That's why the physical body will fail. That's how you die. Then consciousness has to leave. So the analogy of the candle is very good. Yeah, you can go on. Tell me. Pass to Yun Chan.
People who die from sickness, is it under timely death?
No, natural death, the second one. Means die of old age. The top, page 434 on top, natural death due to old age, may be classified under this category. Maybe I will go through with you the four possibilities. The first one is exhaustion of the reproductive karmic energy, means your life force energy. Means for that segmented life, your life force energy, yeah, the karmic energy that sustain or support. Mm. So this one, if it's no longer there, then this particular being will die. So here they use what they call the Buddhist explanation. They say the Buddhist belief is that as a rule, the thought, the volition or desire, which is extremely strong during the lifetime, becomes predominant at the time of death. Mm-hmm. And condition the subsequent birth. So we call this the close proximity karma. Close proximity karma means things that you do very often, your habitual tendency and all those things. Then before you die, that consciousness will take over. But if you have heavy karma, like Devadatta's case, you won't have that. Straight away, that one of the five heavy karma, they will take over and cause you to die. That's why Devadatta's case is classified under the last one, sudden death. So this one is sudden death. Then sometimes karma is like that. That being, not explained in this book, that being has to go somewhere already. Understand or not? Because of certain condition, karmic or whatever, or somebody's vow, or there is something he must do. Understand? Then that being will die or no. Yeah. So the few possibility that can happen, although the book didn't mention, which they don't know, but my nature know, is like, let's say you are married, you are a couple, and because you are married, maybe take for example, your husband very successful, got a lot of wealth, good life, everything. Then as a wife, do you think you got time for Dhamma or not? You don't have time, isn't it? You are having good life, isn't it? You will never think of that, isn't it? Then what happened? Suddenly the husband, for no reason, just died. Maybe not the miserable death, the accident, car accident, just for no reason, heart attack. You are coming first, finish, have to go. Then you know what happened? The wife, because of that, starts to develop the attachment, the suffering. Then they have to seek solution. That's how they turn to the Dhamma. Yeah, this is like I met a few like that one. Then I say it's a blessing in disguise. Otherwise you won't come and see me. Then you won't learn all these things. And after that, they became a lot more happy than before the husband died. At first they blamed the husband or they went into depression. No. You know what they told me, the secret behind. He said, at first they were very sad, very, very unhappy. Then cannot accept that reality, depressed. Then later on, the cocoon of thought keep on going inside there. Then the wrong thoughts start to visualize all this and create very negative thought. No, start to hate the husband. No, why this fellow just happy-go-lucky, just go like that, leave all the mess to me. Yeah, as a lady, he had to take over the whole thing. No. The husband, very rich, very wealthy, maybe listed company, CEO or MD or whatever. How can the wife take over the business? If it's their own business, it works. You cannot take over. But you work for people, not so bad. Maybe people pay you some insurance coverage and compensate you. But then after that, alone, no, you used to have a good life, good husband that support you and take care of everything. You only become a good wife, understand? Sao nai nai. So when this thing happened, all of a sudden the burden all fall on her, no? And she become very, very unhappy and depressed. But luckily they came to me, then after that I teach them to apply the Dhamma to reverse all this and free, and to understand that life is a lot more than holding on to that wrong thought, attaching to all those past happening. You understand? Because when you attach, your thought is being conditioned by that wrong thought. Because you will always believe your thought when my husband around, everything was so beautiful. We got such good life. We got all the very high level friends and all those things. Dato, Tan Sri, everything. But after he is gone, I'm nobody. And nobody even come and visit me or our family. So they were think in such depressed manner, you understand? So a lot of these things, when you don't have the Dhamma, when you don't have, you become miserable just because of what happened. But you have the Dhamma, you can accept the reality of the moment. That's why I explained to her. I said, it's a blessing in disguise. Because your husband got better things to do, more important duties somewhere in the sun. That's why he has to go. And by going, he created a condition for you to go to the Dhamma, which is what you wanted, your past and all those things. That's why after that, depending on your coming, how long you have to suffer. So there are some who suffer shorter. There are some who suffer longer. I think so far the longest is 2 years. Most of them are less than that. Then after that, they turn around, they become so different, so beautiful. Then they rejoice. They really rejoice. They used to tell me, Roberto, luckily I met you. I just talk to them. I never even teach them to meditate. I just talk to them. Explain to them, then teach them how to develop the cultivation in a different way. There are some, they are not English educated. So I have to try my very best to use my limited Mandarin to explain things. But then they have to go to maybe other form of Buddhism where Mandarin is more predominated to learn and do all those things. So one of them, she went. Then after that, you know what she told me, you know, after many years with that Buddhist organization, I think it's Po Kwang San. And some they go to Tsuji and all those things. And you know what she told me, you know? She said, Virtue, I go there for so many years. I attend their sutta class, I attend their chanting, I do all the song ching, everything, activity. Then they got sutta class. He said, I really didn't learn much or didn't learn anything. By talking to you, I learned a lot of things. That's how she freed her mind, you know, by talking to me. Well, I gave her specific understanding. Oh, the alarm. Oh, very good. Tell me you got signal. So they used to tell me, is it, I always remember one very beautiful sentence you always tell me. He said, you always tell me, my life, I decide. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely my choice. Why did I choose so deludedly and so stupidly? He said, that one free him. No? So every time she get into the cocoon of wrong thought that make her miserable and unhappy, you know what she did? She suddenly wake up and remember what I say. No? My life, no. I hold the key to my own life destiny. You know, to be happy or to be unhappy is entirely my choice. You know. Why did I allow myself to become so miserable? Means I don't know how to choose. I'm really stupid. Yeah. That's why the Mahayana say stupidity. They don't say deluded. No. They say stupidity. Really make them very stupid. You know. And they wake up. Then he say, these are wrong thoughts. Brett, you say, thought that condition my fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, and all the unhappiness. And that was what she was experiencing. That's why she woke up. And she said, this is hell. I'm not going to touch all this wrong thought anymore. I'm not going to create all this wrong thinking anymore. That's how she came out. And you know what she did after that? She came out and looked for Kayanmita. Come and see me, talk to me, go for lunch, then have all the good time, then study Dhamma, develop all the joy, the happiness, then go retreat sometime. So all this is what Dhamma is all about. Life is not just about the miserable wrong thought. Understand? Then you are limiting yourself to all this negativity of thought. You don't know how to live life. There are so much more to life. Life is not just hanging on to the unhappy thought and the sadhu. It's just because one of the noble truth, the first noble truth, one of the eight conditions that condition suffering. So when one of any of these eight conditions hit you, these are the reality of life and existence, I told her. You have to accept them and move. Make a decision and move. Do not cling on to it, hold on to it, and allow it to make you miserable. That is attachment. That is stupidity. But if you can have the Dhamma, the understanding, this is a reality. Like let's say disease, sickness, or death of a loved one. This is a reality. Reality means what? Not only I experience, no, every living being, if they live life long enough, sooner or later they will experience. No. Then what is the difference? The person who suffer and become miserable, if they don't know this teaching, they attach, cling and make themselves miserable just because of one of the eight reality. If it's a reality, like the Buddha say, death pertains to the body. It is not you. That's why birth, old age, sickness and death pertain to the physical form. But you are not the physical form, understand? This physical form is anatta, go the way of nature. It's not you. That's why the Buddha say every day reflect. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. Then when you have problem related to this physical body, you don't have to worry. Because just like what the Buddha advised, he said, only the fools lament, the foolish one. He said, because these foolish people, they think they really own my son, my wealth, my property and all those things. All things that he think he own. Then the Buddha said, this only the fools lament, for that very body also doesn't belong to him. Wherein son, wherein wealth, and wherein all those so-called possessions. You yourself can't even own your own physical body. Then how can you own other people? How can you own anything? Well, you, your entity is dependent originating, condition arising, no reality. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. So don't be foolish. So when you understand that, then you know this physical body and mind is a vehicle and a tool chemically conditioned out for you to come to this world. So use it. Use it and don't worry about you getting old, getting sick and die, because it was never you. That's why he said the five aggregate of form and mind, they are impermanent, lead to suffering and non-self. It is not you. Then, when you understand that, you liberate, you free. Then, all this phenomenal world of consciousness, the thing that you believe to be real, very, very, like, genuine, they are not what you think. That's why your mind, once it understands, it can free. Even disease pertains to this body. So, if it's a universal truth, means everybody has to go through, then I need to develop the wisdom not to be deluded by it. So if this is a reality, I accept. Then I don't have to suffer. Accept means what? This is a reality. Condition like that, things will learn that. If I don't take care, I neglect my body, if my karmic DNA or coding like that, it will go this way. If I want to reverse it, I do what I have to do. If I need to ask for forgiveness, I ask for forgiveness. If I need to change my mind state, I change my mind state. So that I will not hold on to the wrong thought and make myself miserable. So that the immune system will not fall. So that you will have better health. That's why you reverse your mind state. You radiate love, metta. Then you cultivate meditation. Then you develop the spiritual faculty. Abandon or relinquish all the five mental hindrances. Then with the five spiritual faculty, your mind state are different. You are calm, you are peaceful, you are aware, you are tranquil, you are still. And you have good mind states. Then your body vibration all become positive, then you radiate love and metta well-being. Then your cells all recuperate, and it will boost your immune system. Then you change your diet. You don't abuse your body. You don't simply stress yourself out, make yourself miserable. That is how you can do something positive to help your physical body to recover. Then whatever problem, when you accept, you don't react, you don't stir your mind, you are at peace. When you are at peace, you have clarity. Then you ask yourself what happened. And you have got right view with regards to law of karma, law of mind, law of dhamma. Then you know how to come out of it. Like the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So 100% is related to karma. So whatever that is the cause must be related to karma. So if it's karma, means what? I reap what I sow. May in the past, I must have done certain nonsense or karmic negativity that caused people to be miserable. That's why this life come, I had this condition and it affected me or caused affliction to my form and mind. That if I don't have the wisdom and the understanding, I will attach, cling, grasp and succumb to it through all the wrong thought. But if I understand, I accept that reality and I don't allow it to torment me further, then I can free my mind out of it. Then I accept that reality. If I accept, I at peace. Then I got no mental negativity. I don't stir my mind. I don't react. I don't get angry. I don't get miserable. And I don't project my thought to have fear and all those things. Then I do what I have to do. Isn't it? That is easy. Oh, I need to ask for forgiveness. I ask for forgiveness. Then I need to change over to a better life. I change over. I follow the advice of the Buddha. Then I invoke power of merit for turnaround. Then if I need to consult somebody who has come out of it or see a proper doctor who can help me, I consult them. Understand? If it's other type of problem, if I can see a Dhamma teacher who can help me, I go and see him. Understand? So that I understand the Dhamma. So that I know how to make use of the Dhamma to change my life, to improve my life, to avoid unnecessary suffering or misery. Okay? So this is what Dhamma is all about. Yeah? So that possibility of death, which is not mentioned here, I already explained to you. So sometimes it's not necessary always like Devadatta, after heavy karma you have to die suddenly. Sometimes because there are certain karmic conditions behind. Like the example I give you is what? The husband have to go, otherwise the wife won't turn to Dhamma. You understand? That's why that condition. Then very likely the husband also has good karmic, otherwise won't have such good life. Understand not? So maybe it's time for him to go and help another person. Yeah. Or with another birth so that he can play his role and all those things. So karmic, there is a lot of possibility. Not until you have that type of cultivation, that type of understanding and wisdom, you can never understand the complexity of karma. Okay, very good. Yeah, then we still got 15 minutes. Can still continue. You want to add anything or not? Tell me. Yeah.
Actually, I found in another place, like another website, it says that the first one, exhaustion of reproductive karmic energy, karma kaya, he was explaining about how. Like before they became arahant, after they have this special karmic force, then they become an arahant. Then so their previous karmic previous karmic thing
all gone. All gone. But if it's a very, very strong conditioning, then it will not go. Like, just like that two arahant, you remember? Straight away after they become arahant, they came out the bull gore to death by the cow and the bull. because that is very strong karmic conditioning. I remember reading in the sutta, or Reverend Suwano told me, I think, I didn't read the sutta, Reverend Suwano, when he was alive, he told me. He said, because that karmic thing was linked to one of the yaka, understand? The yaka take birth, that life was a yaka. But he remembered this guy, this so-called arahant, the monk, that finally become arahant. So because of the anger and the hatred, he wanted to take revenge. You know? And that willpower was so strong. You know? So because of that, immediately after he became arahant, if he don't have the condition to do it, then that karma will be gone. You know? It's just like you have one, maybe one very big pot of all your karmic thing, good and the bad, understand not? Then maybe you have some negative karma which you haven't repaired. But the moment you become arahant, you know what happened? That pot is broken. All the whatever, good or bad, all flow out. But not exact example. It's still in the karmic nature, actually. It cannot flow out. Flow out in the sense that he is an arahant. After he died, if during that period when he was an arahant until his parinibbana, if there is no condition for that karmic to take effect, then gone, no more. After that, he doesn't take rebirth. There is no more form in mind. So the karmic nature up there cannot do anything. Do you understand? The karmic nature need to have a being to come. So if it's arahant, it just cease. Everything cease. Finish. The karmic nature, the spiritual nature goes with it. Not to say it disappears. It's still there, but nobody can use it. It's very peculiar to that being, understand? That whole karmic nature is a summation of all the birth and death of that being. That's how it becomes a nature. So that is. Wait. Yeah.
But he became arahant and he died.
Not immediately, after a while, after he walked out, then the bull called him.
So it didn't then stop there, it still affected him, the past
karma. But that's why I told you, if there is condition, it will hit. Because that bull was a yaka, understand or not? That yaka turned into a bull and called him, understand or not? There is condition for it to happen. That's why during that time, after you become arahant, you become arahant. Then, from there, the arahant until his parinibbana, during that period, if there is no condition, then all the negative karma gone. Can never surface and affect him. Yet he is no more birth and death. No more segmented life. No more coming. Condition was there. And that too was very severe. Because that conditioning was very strong. Even they don't become arahant, they also be gone to death. You understand? Pass the mic.
I've read from somewhere, it says that once you become an arahant, between 7 days, you must become a monk.
They say must become a monk, otherwise you die. So you believe or not?
Priority will comment.
I commented many times already. I think at the retreat also I commented, you cannot remember. You were there at the retreat. I ask you one very simple question. That type of arahant, you love to be or not? How can an arahant be so fragile? If 7 days don't put on the robe or become a monk, he will die. Do you think the arahant is like that? What type of arahant is that? The arahant got no more delusion or no more ignorance. No? So what is that formality? Does it mean that you must put on the robe? The arahant is an arahant because of his wisdom, insight, understand? He don't have to put on anything. But if he want to become a monk, he can choose to be. But not necessary. But I don't know where they got that type of funny idea that within 7 days you don't become a monk, you will die. If that type of arahant, I don't want to be you. Understand? What for? Means you are so fragile, you must go and look for a robe. Then like the lady how? Cannot ordain no more nun no. So arahant lady must die within 7 days. What type of thinking is that or idea is that? I don't know. Personally for me it feels funny. And the gullible thing about all this is they quote the sutta. No? And so, like you say, you read it somewhere. Actually, it's somebody's book, I think. It's somebody wrote. He interpret the sutta that way. So you interpret that way, then you go and believe. But people who read, what I feel funny is, if it's printed on a book, they take it very seriously. Hey, the book say, or that monk say. But Brother Teo say nobody believe because he's a lay person. He's not even a monk. He don't even have a role. But I never want to say anything. Well, to me, if that type of arahan that will die within 7 days, not becoming monk, then I don't want to be such arahan. Well, my teacher told me very simple. If the rope make you the monk, then you put the rope on the tree also become monk. Understand? It's not the rope. It's the form and mind that don the rope, whether it's connected to the wisdom, whether he really awakened or not. If he really awakened, he is a true monk. If he's not awakened, you can put on the rope and you are still not a samana. The true monk is a samana. Yes,
in fact, I've felt very strange and very weird about this sutta.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me, I don't know. I say, personally, for me, it's not important because if it's such an arahan, that type of arahan, I don't want. Understand? An arahan is supposed to be a being that is free of ignorance, not only delusion. The sotapan is free of self-delusion, written out. But the arahan is fully without ignorance, and he knows this form of mind is not him, Where got such thing as this one die? But this one is not him, and he will not attack, he will not cling. If there is no condition, so be it. If there is condition, and yet he wants to don the robe, then so be it. Understand or not? So, it's a matter of understanding. When you don't understand, then all this, put fear in you, Then, especially those who are gullible, after they go retreat, they meditate. Oh, I think I already arahan. I must go for ordination, otherwise I will die within 7 days. So this type of thing will make you worse. But like Achan Cha say, don't try to be an arahan. Because the moment you try to be an arahan, you will never become an arahan. Because there is a craving. Understand? You crave to be an arahan. That's why a lot of people don't understand. An arahan is free of ignorance, free of all form of craving and delusion. So you cannot even have the slightest attachment to even that word. And that's like, I want to be an arahan. I want to realize enlightenment and become a sotapan. Because the truth of it is anatta. No mark of a self, no mark of other, then how can there be an arahan? But the form and mind that has the wisdom connected, yes. That one, because the fetters are all rooted out, no more, then that one is an arahan. But that form and mind is not you, understand? You understand? That's why you are never anything. Because it's anatta, that form and mind is not you. But that form and mind, because of the wisdom connected that life, awakening, then it is free of all ignorance and delusion. Then you can say, that one is an arahant, but it's not you. That's why the enlightened being, all they will know. In the Diamond Sutta, in the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, when we go through it, we studied that. And I explained to you why the Sutta say that, the Diamond Sutta. Even a sotapan will know. That form and mind is not him. And he will not even have a thought that I am a sotapan. You understand? If he has that thought, he is never the sotapan. Because a sotapan will know that this form and mind is not real. It's not him. So a sotapan also can understand that he somehow says he is an arahan and he needs to ordain within 7 days. So this is the part that a lot of people fail to understand. Because when you have the awakening, the enlightenment, the understanding, you know this is non-self, anatta nature. This form and mind is never you. The five aggregate of form and mind, whether first aspect or second aspect, they are anatta, non-self, not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. No such thing. Okay? Yeah. Oh, another 4 minutes. Last part, yeah. Yeah, we still got 4 minutes.
Okay. The last part is explaining on the birth. There are four modes of birth, namely egg-born beings, antaja, womb-born being, jalabuja, moisture-born being, samsedaja, and beings having spontaneous birth, upapatika. This broad classification embraces all living beings. Birds and oviparous snakes belongs to the first division. The womb-born creatures comprises all human beings, some devas inhabiting the earth, and earth some animals that take conception in the mother's womb.
Even the wheel. Wheel is a mammal.
Embryos using moisture as needles for their growth, like certain lowly forms of animal life, belongs to the third class. Beings having a spontaneous birth are generally invisible to the physical eye. Conditioned by their past karma, they appear spontaneously without passing through an embryonic stage. Petas and devas normally and brahmas belongs to this class.
Very good, sadhu. Thank you. You got any explanation? No. I think these four classes are easy. So the easiest one is egg-born, those that born our egg, like the chicken, the birds, and all those things. Then the womb one, we all very familiar, womb, mammals. Then some are lower form, embryoid. The last one is very common, spontaneous birth. No need to slowly grow out one. No need to wait for cell subdivide, then develop into a fetus, then after that get born. No need one. Spontaneously take birth already. That's why you become deva. Straight away you up there, you have the memory and everything. You look down, you know you are from earth. Then you can look for your friend. And sometimes you can help them. In the Jataka story, there are a lot. They help them. They look for them. Well, before they die, they have certain type of understanding. They promise each other. Whoever become arahant first, or enlightened first, you will come back and help the others. So there was one Jataka story during the time of Kassapa Buddha. Six monks. I forgot what sutta already. That one very interesting. That one. That six monks decide among themselves. We will strive on with heedfulness until we either succeed or if we fail, we will die there. So what they did was they climb up a mountain. Then that ladder that allowed them to climb up, they push it away. So they have only limited food and whatever up there. So if they can survive, they survive. If cannot survive, that's it, finish. And you know, out of the six, one of them become an arahant. So that one don't come back, finish. Another one become an anagami. The other four didn't make it. And you know what happened? Because of their good parami, after they died, that life, because they were monk under Kassapa Buddha, they all take heavenly birth, non-stop heavenly birth, all the beautiful heavenly rhyme type of birth, until Sakyamuni arise. When Sakyamuni arise, they also take human birth. Come down. And all four of them become arahant. You know how they become arahant? That Brahma up there, the pure air ball, was tracing where they take birth. No? He has the ability, no, to follow them life after life. No? Then after they take birth, two or three of them, luckily because of the Brahma came now and talked to them. No? Otherwise, they won't even go and see the Buddha. And the condition arise for it to happen. No? One of them was a very wealthy merchant. No? He got a lot of sheep and all this thing. And then one day, the shipwreck, everything gone. No? Then he was, shipwrecked to an island. No? Then nobody know him. No? And he lost everything. No? So you know what happened? No? He don't even have food. He don't even have clothing, nothing. No? So he put on the leaf. And he got nothing to do. He sat down there. I think he tried to meditate a while. Then people pass by, you know. Then people offer him things, you know. Then he continued to sit, you know. Then the word spread, you know. Then they say he must be an arahant, you know. Otherwise, how can he naked like that, and don't want anything, you know. Then he make use of that, you know. Where people think he arahant, offering a lot, so he continued to pretend to be arahant. Until the Brahma came down at that night when he dreamed, he said, "Do you know who you are? No? Last night during Mahakasapa we were together, and you are not the arahant, you say. You fake one, you say. The real one is don't know how many kilometers away, but not by kilometer. Like, he got to walk don't know how many months to reach there." He said, "You better get started unless." Oh no, he said, "You better get started immediately, otherwise you will miss him. And all of your cultivation will go to waste." So luckily he went there, you know. Yeah. Then one of them was, I forgot that sutta. Last time I teach the first. Huh? No. That one is different. That one is the Pitta. This one is not Pitta. This one is about the six monks. And all these monks become arahant. One of them, I remember, on his way to meet the Buddha, also advised by this guy, on the way to meet the Buddha, he actually met the Buddha halfway. You know. Then they stay in a hut, in a shelter. You know. Then the Buddha went in, saw him there, you know, asked him for permission to stay there. Then he welcomed the Buddha, but he didn't know he was the Buddha. No? Then they start to talk. No? Then he told the Buddha that he was about to walk to look for the Buddha. No? Don't know where. No? Then the Buddha was just in front of him. He didn't know. No? Oh, then luckily, before the daybreak, the Buddha talked to him. No? He said, "Why do you want to see the Buddha? What is it that you want to learn from the Buddha?" Then he said he was told the Buddha is a fully enlightened one. He can enlighten being very fast. Then the Buddha checked and knew that he was ready. You know. And you know what he spoke to him? The sixth sandal. Just the sixth sandal. Yeah. And he became an arahant that night. Yeah. Then the other one went to look for him. He was still there. And you know, he was on the Pindapan. No? So when he reached there, he asked for the Buddha, the fake arahana, the naked one. Huh? Then they told him, "The Buddha is having Pindapan. You cannot go." He don't care, no, he go. No? He went. No? Then he talked to the Buddha. At first, the disciple tried to stop him, but he talked to the Buddha. Then the disciple said, "No, you come back later." He said, "No." He said, "I may not leave to see him. If I wait," he said, "I was told by my friend up there, urgent, must see him immediately." So he requested three times. No? That's why the Buddha checked, he knew. No? He agreed. No? The Buddha stopped and talked to him. No? And he just tell him three stanza. No? "In the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see. In the hearing, there is only the hearing consciousness. There is no one to hear. The third one is, I don't know which sense the holiday. immediately after he finished the third one, he straight away became an arahant. You go and try. The six Sandoni, you know why? Because they were ready. They cultivated before in the past, Kassapa Buddha time. But nobody can explain in such short, clear manner to them. That's why all these people, they are ready. And the moment they heard the truth, straight away, they not only awaken, they become arahant. I try to look for the sutta and see later on. Maybe I will let you know the name of the sutta. Very interesting book. When I was at Vipassana Center, they passed me the whole stack of these books. And there's a lot of story about during the Buddha's time. Quite interesting. And I remember I shared that sutta and they love it so much. I hope I can get the sutta. I don't know which book also. It was, I think, 2004, 15 years ago. 2005. After we started. 2005, yes. That time, what? Uncle Tan. Uncle Tan and Bun Chai. Uncle Tan every time give me those book one. Oh, very thick one. Oh. He very funny though. Like he know that this book is useful for me to share with people. And he gave me the whole chronicle of the Buddha. As I later on only I got chance to check, if I want to check whether the sutta is authentic or not, I can check. But too many, so many volumes, I don't like to read the long-winded one, unless specific. Then those two books I think were specific. That's why I remember that time. I forgot the name already. No. Gundaka is one of the subdivision of the Tipitaka. There's a name on, I forgot already. Never mind, I look for it. 10:30 already. Exceeded. We better end. Okay. We can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of marriage. Transfer merit, then after that you can make your aspiration. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana itta watta chamehi sampana punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu Sabba sampati siddhiya Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Imina punyang kamena Ame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patia, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect to all the worthy ones, then we end.